Today's daf is Shkalim daf Hey. We left off on the bottom of daf Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page. So we were discussing yesterday the kalbon, the extra amount of money that's paid when one gives the machzah shekel, and we said that there's a that whenever one is chayiv and giving kalbon, you're pater from meiser behema. When you're chayiv meiser behema, you're pater from kalbon, which means to say that when you have a din of shutfim, when you have two partners that are together, the halach is that there's no chayiv of meiser behema. But when people are not shutfim, when they're both dealing with the estate of their father, so then they're going to be chayiv in meiser behema. But in that case, they're going to be pater from the kalbon, because then the money that they're paying is actually from their father's estate. The shekel that they're giving is from their father's estate. So first thing we're going to see in today's daf is the Gemara is going to suggest that there might be cases where you don't have this this opposite relationship between kalbon and meiser behema. There might be cases where you have two brothers that are together on the nechassim in some way or another, that they're chayiv in kalbon and meiser behema. And there might be cases where they're pater in kalbon and meiser behema. And then the first parak is going to conclude with five shitos of what they did with that kalbon money, meaning we know what they did with the machzah shekel money, but now they had this extra kalbon money. What happened with that money? In the beginning of the second parak, we're going to have on today's daf, the Mishnah is going to talk about what happens if you send your machzah shekel to Yerushalayim and it gets lost on the way. And we're also going to discuss if you are sending it to Yerushalayim and you don't want to send all of these coins from all these different people, so you want to exchange it for one very valuable thing. What kinds of valuable things can you exchange it for? Can you exchange it for only a valuable coin, or maybe valuable items as well? The Gemara is going to discuss if the guy who loses it while he's bringing it to Yerushalayim is a Shomer Sachar, what's the halacha, and what's the halacha if he's a Shomer Chinam. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to get into the general halacha about Hektish that gets lost from the Bailim, what its status is going to be, and also if the Machzah Shekel gets lost, and then we designate another machzah shekel in its place, and then we find the first one. So what do we do with each of the two coins? Both of them are going to have some sort of status. What do we do with each of the two coins? And then the last mishnah on the daf on Halacha Beis, which is going to be of Perek Beis, which is going to be halfway down Hey Amud Beis, is going to talk about a shliach that was sent to give machzah shekel for somebody else, but instead decided that he gives it for himself, that he wants to be yotzei his own mitzvah with it, similar to the discussion we have in Kiddushin, when you send a shliach to be mekadesh an isha for you, and the shliach decides that he's going to be mekadesh the isha for himself. So you have such a similar mission over here. Or we talk about also a shliach that takes money that's not shliach, or a guy takes money of hektish or meiser sheni and decides to use that as his machzah shekel. What the status? What is the status of that money is, and what does he do about his hektish and meiser sheni obligations? So let's begin. We are two lines from the bottom on daf dalet amud beis. So again, we had said that whenever you have a relationship between two brothers that would yield a chiyuv of meiser behema, which would mean that they are considered to be a single unit, they are not considered to be partners, they're just dealing with the father's estate. So any animal that's born into their flock is going to be chayiv in meiser behema. So then they're going to be pater from the kalbon, because it's as if the father is paying for the machzah shekel, they're not paying for their own machzah shekel, so they're pater from the kalbon. But if their relationship would not yield the chiyuv of meiser behema, meaning if they happen to be partners, they had divided the estate, and then they got together in a partnership again, so then it's just like any other two partners in the world, where the halacha is that two partners are pater from meiser behema. Any animal born into the flock of a partner is pater from meiser behema. So then when they take shkalim from that money, from that property, they're going to be chayiv in the kalbon, because then it's considered that they're paying for their own shkalim. They're not paying from the father's estate. They're paying from their own shkalim. So the Gemara raises the possibility that maybe there are cases. Rabbi Chiya Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Bayi V'lama Les Nenamrin Pam Shein Chayavin B'Zel B'Zeh U'Pamim Shein Peturim Mizeh Mizeh. Why don't we raise the possibility that there are certain cases where their relationship is such where they're going to be chayiv both in Meiser Behema and the kalbon. And there are cases where you're going to be pater both in Ma'is Vema and pater from kalbon. Hey Chavida, how does that happen? So we skip the parentheses, but the Gemara explains it could happen very simply. The Meiser Behema comes from the animals. The Machsa Shekel comes from the money. What if they split part of the estate, but not the other part of the estate? What if they split only the animals and not the money? The money is still Betfusa Sabayis of the father. Or what if they split the money and not the animals? So that's how you could have it. Chalku anachasim v'lo chalku abehema. Chayavin bazeh bazeh. If they divided up the money, but they never divided up the animals. So now, in terms of the money, they're regular shutvim. So if they're regular shutvim, they each have to pay the kalbon. But if they never divided up the animals are still considered to be in their father's estate. It's still considered to be the property of the estate. And mela, they're going to be chayiv in meiser behema because it's not shutvim. They're not shutvim on the animals. It still belongs to the estate. And on the flip side, chalka behema v'lo chalka esanachasim. If they split the animals and then joined in a shutfus in a new partnership on those animals later on, but they did not split the money, then they're going to be pater from both Meiser Behema and from the Kalbon. They're going to be pater from the Kalbon because the money still belongs to the father's estate, and therefore it's ki'ilu, the father is paying their machsa shekel for them, so they're not chayiv in kalbon, and they're part of Meister Behema, because the animals, they had split, and then joined in a shutfas again afterwards. So you see that, they're considered shutfim, legabe the animals, so they're going to be part of Meister Behema. So why don't we suggest those possibilities? Why do we assume that it's always going to work out, that if they're chayiv in one, they're part from the other one. So I'm Rabbi Mana Hadada Atamar Bishalo Haisa Behema Rov. This cheshbon that we just made, that you could sometimes have that you'll be chayv b'zeh b'zeh, and sometimes have that you'll be pater b'zeh b'zeh, particularly the idea that we just said that when they split the nechasim, when they split the money only and not the estate, that they're going to be, and not the animals rather, that they're going to be chayv in the kalbon, that if they split just the money, they're going to be chayv in the kalbon because now they're just regular shutfin paying for their own way in Machsa Shekel. That's only Bishalo Haisa Behema Rov. That's only if the Behema was not the rove of the estate, if the animals were not the rove of the estate. Aval Im Haisa Behema Rov. Hain ikr nechasim. But if the animals were the majority of the estate, we view them as the primary nechasim, and therefore, even if they divided the nechasim and not the animals, they're pata from the kalbon, because we follow the majority. So if the majority of the estate is animals, and they never split that, we view that as if they as if the entire estate has never been split, and when it comes to paying the machsa shekel, we'll view it as if the father's estate is paying for their machsa shekel, even though they had in fact split the money amongst each other. Now the Rambam doesn't bring this din of the kalbon, whether the ikur nechasim is the behema or not. It doesn't bring this chilik that our Gemara brings, that the Yerushalmi brings over here, whether the ikur nechasim is the behema or the ikur nechasim is not the behema. So the Ravid in his Hasagas, this is in the third parak of Shkolim Halacha Hey, the Ravid wonders how could the Rambam leave this out. It's explicit over here. It's explicit in the Gemara that there is such a chilik, whether if the majority of the estate is animals, we view it ki'ilu, and they didn't split the animals, we view it ki'ilu, the entire estate was not split. How come the Rambam doesn't say it? So the Kesef Mishnah explains that since this halacha is not brought anywhere in Talmud Bavli, so maybe the Rambam learns that the Bavli is cholek on the Yerushalmi. So that's why he doesn't bring it. In the Mara Panim, he says that you can't say that, because there are a lot of dinim in the Rambam that the Rambam quotes from the Yerushalmi, meaning what does the Rambam do when you have a din that's not brought in the Bavli and is brought in the Yerushalmi? He quotes it from the Yerushalmi, meaning he does not work with the assumption that anything that's omitted from the Bavli is necessarily something that the Bavli disagrees with. The Bavli covers the halachas that it covers, and there are certain halachas that it doesn't cover, and that's when the Rambam relies on the Yerushalmi. The Rambam often relies on the Yerushalmi. So he says it must be that the Rambam had some sort of halachah. He must have had some sort of proof that the Bavli disagrees. It can't just be that it's not mentioned in the Bavli. So it's not possible that it's that's what was pushing the Rambam over here, just the fact that it wasn't mentioned in the Bavli. So what is that proof? So the Gemara Maseches Becharos and Daf Nun Vav and Beis raises the question on the din that we bring over here, that Pam Sheshneim Chayavim, Pam Sheshneim Peturim, that the Gemara says Pshita. It's obvious that sometimes that if they split the money, but they never split the animals, so the animals are still considered the estate's animals, and you're going to be chayiv in Meis Behema, and the money's going to be money of Shutfim, and you're going to be chayiv in Kalbon. And it's Pashut that if they split the animals and not the money, that you're Patam Yizam. Is that what's the Chiddush over here? So the Gemara is Metarets that Salka Daita Chamina, I would have thought that since they were Mechalik the Behemos, it's Goli Daitayu de Lemifla Kaimi, that is these Megaladas, that they plan on splitting the entire estate, that the estate is going to be split. So even though they haven't yet gotten around to splitting the money, we should view it as if they have already split the money once they split the animals. Kamash Malan, that we don't see it that way, that we don't view it that way, that if they split the animals and not the money still belongs to the estate, the animals are considered to be split. That's what the Gemara in Becharos says. So Mehechitesi, that we would say such a thing, that since they split the animals, we assume they intend to split the rest of the Nechasim as well. So it must be that it's talking about a case where why would you assume that? Why would you assume just because they split one thing, they will split everything else? It must be, says the Mara Hapanim, it must be that the behemos are the rove of the estate, and that's why we would have made that assumption that when the behemos are the rove of the estate, that's where there's such a havamina that if they split the behemos, then of course they're going to split the money as well. And yet still, what does the Bavli say? No, they split the behemos, the money is still considered to be part of the estate. It's still considered to be part of the Tfusos Habayis. So you see, that's where the Bavli goes directly against our Yerushalmi, and that must be the diuk the Rambam made. That must be why the Rambam doesn't quote this din that we quote here in our Gemara, in our Yerushalmi. Weiter in the Gemara now, we're about 7-8 lines into the page in Daf Hei Omer Aleph, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Shami Ba'i. Rabbi Yavin said that Rabbi Shami asked the following question. He says, I don't get why they'd be pater from kalbon. What exempts him from the kalbon just because it happens to be money from the estate? Just because we consider it to be as if they're one person, legabe meiser behema, which means we're machmir by meiser behema to consider them like it's a single person's property, and therefore the chayiv and meiser behema. So we should also be makil based on that relationship when they're dealing with the estate to say that they're pater from the kalbon. Clearly they both own this money. It's two brothers who yashined it from their father. They're clearly going to split it eventually. So why are we going to be makel with the kalbon? I understand by Meister Behema you want to consider it a single person's estate because that's a chumrah. Good. So you can be machmir and consider it a single person's estate. But you can pater from kalbon also. You can consider it a kula to pater it from kalbon as well. So I'm relay, so the B'nai Yeshiva answered Rabbi Sami on his question. Lo shanyihi. He says, wait, the din of Yarshim that have nechasim b'tfusas habayis, isn't that not different than all other shutfim? Shu nosin sala achashlema, because they're giving one full coin for their machsa shekels from the tfusas habayis. So it's mamish, they're using their father's money. So it should be very clear to you in that case that this isn't their money. It's their father's money. So if it's their father's money, that's someone else being shokel for them. So yes, we can rely on this even lakula, that it's not their money. We can rely on it even lakula, that they're using the estate's money. That shouldn't be a problem. So frek the Gemara, but wait a second. Me'ata, if this din of tfusa, we have this din of tfusa sabayis, then afilu cholku v'chazru v'neshtatvu chayavin b'maisa b'hema or p'tur min ha-kalbon. Then we should even say that if they split it up and then they went back into a shutfas together, they should be chayav in maisa b'hema and p'tur from a kalbon. Because it's still, now they're back. Now it's together as one unit. U'taninan, but in the Mishnah, it didn't say that way. It said in the Mishnah, chayavin b'kalbon u'p'tur m'maisa b'hema, that they're going to be chayiv in the kalbon in that case. So the Gemara leaves off with the question How can you say that when they're in the father's estate, it's considered that, and the money that pays for the machzor shekel comes from the father's estate, it's considered that the father paid off their meiser behema? That's where the meiser behema came from. It came from the father, and therefore it's part of from kalbon. If that were the case, then even when they already split the estate and then they came back and they joined back together, so of course it should be pater from the kalbon also, because it's viter in the father's estate now that they joined back together. So the Gemara doesn't answer this question. Some of the Acharim say the reason the Gemara doesn't answer this question is because the answer is so obvious. It's difficult to understand what the havamin of asking such a question is. Meaning, when is it the father's estate? When they never split yet. The whole point is, once they split, so they could join back together the same way they could join with anybody else off the street with their money. That's what we call a shutfus. It's a regular shutfus. There's no reason to assume that it should maintain the status of a father's estate even at that point in time. So that's why the Gemara was lo chash letaritz. The Gemara doesn't feel a need to answer the question. So says Gemara Vaiter now, Rabbi Ba b'shem Abba Bar Rav Huna. Rabbi Ba, in the name of Abba Bar Rav Huna, hishnei achim sheyorshus avien, hishnei gisin sheyorshus chamehen. Stama halachi, he says, you should know this din of Yerusha, that we sometimes view it as if they're dealing with the estate when they haven't yet split it up. But if they then split it up and then join back together, they're shutfim. That same din applies not just to brothers that inherit the father's estate, it's the two sons-in-law that inherit the father-in-law's estate as well. It would be the same halacha. There's no reason to be mechalik between them. The Acharonim ask what the chiddush is, why we would think that it would be different. But one perhaps would think that since their whole connection to the estate is only because of the kiddushin with their wives, of their relationship with their wives, so you would think that makes them like lekuchos. It makes them as if they purchased the estate, because it wasn't something that they were born into. It wasn't something that they were destined to get from birth. It was only something as a result of a transaction that they made, a maisa kiddushin with their wives. So one might have thought it's different. So the Gemara says, no, it's not different. It's exactly the same. Period. Last discussion in the perek. Now that we discussed this concept of kalbon, so good, so we know there is this concept that you give this little extra money when you take the machzor shekel. What did they do with that money? Where did that money go? So Rav Meir Omer, five opinions. Rav Meir Omer l'shkalim. Rav Meir says it went into the regular machzor shekel money, and they would buy korbanos tzibur with that money. This is, by the way, Rav Meir l'shitaso from yesterday's daf. Rav Meir holds that the chiv of kalbon is min hatorah. Right? Rav Meir is the one that told us that famous agadata that Rashi and Chumash quotes about the shekel shel eish that Hashem shows Moshe Rabbeinu and says, kazei yitnu, give like this. This is the money that it should look like. And Rav Meir says, oh, so from there we see that on a doraisa level we have to give a little extra to make sure it's kazeh, to make sure it exactly lines up with the proper value of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Meir l'shitaso, who says that it's min haTorah, will say, good, so min haTorah goes together with the regular maksah shekel. It's part of the maksah shekel. Rav Lezer Omer l'nadava. Rav Lezer is a second opinion. He says it goes l'nadava, what we call the kitza mizbeach, that sometimes the mizbeach, if there's nothing going on the mizbeach, we never want to leave the mizbeach empty, so we have dessert for the mizbeach. We always have extra karbanos lying around to be makriv for the mizbeach. Where does the money come from to buy those karbanos? So some of the money comes from the kalbonos that they collected, says Reb Lezer. Reb Shimon Shizuri Omer, a third shita, he says no, this money was used for rikuazav itzipoy lebeis kodesh hakadoshim. They would use it for the gold plating of the kodesh hakadoshim. They would have golden tiles that plated the entire inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is remarkable because no one was ever there, and yet they still no expense was spared to make sure that it was the most beautiful. The entire room was made of solid gold, golden tiles throughout the entire room. So where did the money come from to pay for those golden tiles? No one was ever there. Once a year someone was there, but other than that no one was ever there. The Gemara talks about how they would repair these tiles. They'd have to lower somebody in a box that he shouldn't just be exposed to the inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because he can't be nene from the vision, from the view of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So anyway, so it's all for the covenant of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Where would they pay for that, for those golden tiles? That was from the kalbonos that they collected. Ben Azay Omer, a fourth shita, Shulchanin, How you note that also Mischarim, the people who would do the money changing, that would be machlif the money for the gizbarim, they would take it as their schar. They would need to get paid for their services. V'yeshom lotzas drachim, and some say no, that they use those kalbanos for fixing up the roads and for digging boros that the rabbim need for whatever communal needs there are out in the roads that people travel on. Hadron lach perak be'echad ba'adar. That is the end of the first parak of Masechta Shkalim. So now we begin the second parak of Shkalim on Hey Amud Aleph. Masnisin so says the Mishnah. Mitzarfin Shkalim l'darkonos mipnei masoya derech. That if it's too much of a schlep for all the people in the city to have their shkalim schlepped up for them, a lot of times the people wouldn't bring it themselves. They would send one representative of the city, and he would schlep all the machzah shekels for everybody. So this guy is going to be schlepping a whole city. He's sent by the Jewish community of the five towns to go bring the machzah shekel. So how many Jews? I don't know. Thousands and thousands. That's a lot of machzah shekels to bring. So instead, he could be mitzarif them lidarkonos. He can switch them for a more valuable coin, matbeah shel zav. A darkon is a gold coin, and that will lighten his load a little bit when he's bringing the Maksa shekels on behalf of the whole city. Just like there were collection boxes for the Maksa shekel in the Beis HaMikdash, they also had collection boxes for the Maksa shekel in Medina. The Tikkun Chaditin over here points out in Medina, in many Mishnayos, means in Yerushalayim. It means throughout Yerushalayim. Over here, that's not what it means. Once it's in Yerushalayim, just go to the Mikdash. This means throughout everywhere, throughout everywhere else, they would have these collection boxes for the Maksa shekel. If you have Bnei Ir, people in the city that send their Maksa shekels, and they get stolen or they get lost. So they get lost along the way. Im nitrma truma nishba in the gizbarin. If the truma was already taken from the Maksa shekel money in the Beis HaMikdash, so the people who were sent with this money have to swear to the Gizbarin that they weren't Poshaya, that they didn't steal anything. They swear to the Gizbar, since the truma was already taken, it was supposed to cover this money already. We assume that when the money is taken from the kupos in the Beis HaMikdash, they're taking not only al hagavoy on what's already been collected, but va'al ha'asad ligvos, that which will be collected as well, so that everybody should have a chelek in those karbanos that they're bringing, even the people whose money is still in transit, whose money is still on their way. So the people have already been yotzei. The guy who sent his machzah shekel has been yotzei with those karbanos, because those karbanos, the truma was taken to cover them also. Their money was on the way. So who's the one that loses out? Hegdish is the one that loses out. The guy didn't lose out. The guy who gave the machzah shekel didn't lose out. His karban worked. It worked as his karban. It's Hegdish that loses out. So the shliach who lost it is going to have to swear to the gizbar. V'imlav, but if they have not yet been nitrum atruma, they haven't yet taken any of the money from the kupos to use for the karbanos hatzibur, then the shpan l'bnei ha'ir. Then these people are going to have to swear to the bnei ha'ir. They're going to have to go back and swear to the people who sent them, because they're the ones who lost out, because they were not yotzei their karbanos yet by the time their money got lost, and therefore their bnei ha'ir shoklin tachtein. They're going to have to take a new machsa shekel in the place of the one that they sent. So that's why these shluchim are going to have to swear back to the bnei ha'ir. Nimtzu oshich zirum haganavim. Let's say it's found, or if it were stolen, the ganavim returned the original one. So now what happens? We already took another one in its place, and now they found the original machsa shekel. Elu ve'elu shkalim ve'inalem l'shana aba. They both count as machsa shekel, and it doesn't work for the next year, for the following year. The Mordechai in Maseches Baba Kama in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph proves from this halacha, from this last halacha in the Mishnah, that if they had not yet taken the truma from the kupa, that the shluchim have to swear to the bnei ha'ir, and the bnei ha'ir take a new machzah shekel in its place. So he says, from here you see that a lover that sends the payment through a shliach, and the money is lost by the shliach, the malva is not able to make him swear, because if lo nitrma truma, we see over here, he only swear dafka to the bnei ha'ir. The gizborim cannot be mashbia the shliach. It's only the bnei ha'ir that could be mashbia, not the gizborim, not the people who stand to collect it. So the same when it comes to a monetary loan, the man who stands to collect cannot be mashbia anybody. So the Ketzos writes, the reason is because the achrayus is on the mishaleach, which is the lova. So he's the baldin, he's the one that's responsible. So and no one else can be could be mashbia him. So over here also, before the truma is taken, the hegdish is the baldin. So I'm sorry, the hegdish is not the baldin, because the shkalim are still in the achrayus of the bnei ayir, and they're chayiv to take another shekel in its place. So hegdish has no business over here being mashbia anybody. It would only be able to be mashbia the guy who had the only the guy who had originally sent it would be able to be mashpia the shluchim. Says the Gemara, the Yasuos and Margolios, in the beginning of the Mishnah we said, if one guy can't schlep all the maksa shekels for the whole city, so exchange it for a gold coin. Why a gold coin? Why not a pearl? Why not a gem? Why not something that's very valuable? Why does it have to be a coin? So says Mar Shema Tazil Margolios, Vinimsa Hagdish Mafsid. The nature of pearls and gems is that they go up and down in value a tremendous amount very easily. So we're afraid that if you exchange it for a pearl, that pearl is going to go down in value, and then Hagdish is going to lose out because of that. Kahidi Taninan, Taman Vikula Niftin Bikasef Ubishav Kasef Chutz Mishkalim Vein Podin Bikalim. So it's just like we learned that everything is nifta b'kesef, b'shav b'kesef. When anything that needs a pidyon, you could use kesef or shav b'kesef, except for shkalim. Ve'in podin b'kelim. Why don't we can't be poda with kelim? V'am Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, why can't we be poda with kelim? Why can't we be poda using utensils? Why does it have to dafka be money that we're poda the shkalim on? Shami yazilu ha-kelim, v'nim sehag d'shmafzid. It's because of that exact concern, that maybe the kelim are going to go down in value, and then hegdish is going to lose out. So of Hachanami, Shema Tazil Margolios, Vim Sahekdish Mafsid. So you have the same concern over here, that maybe it's going to go down in value, and the Hegdish is going to lose out. That's why we're not poda on Margolios, on gems and pearls. Period. So Masnisan B'Tiklin Chaditin, says the Gemara, our Mishnah is talking about a case of Tiklin Chaditin, meaning of this year's collection of Machsa Shekel. Avol B'Tiklin Atikin, but let's say you still owe from last year's collection of Machsa Shekel, so then Lo Bada. That's not what our Mishnah is talking about. Meaning when our Mishnah says that they had shofros in the Medina, so that those shofros were there for the Tiklin Chaditin, for the Shkalim of the coming year. But for the Shkalim of the previous year, for a guy who didn't give Machsa Shekel last year, they didn't have shofros in the Medina, you would have to go and bring your money all the way to the Mikdash. You didn't have other collection boxes around to drop your Machsa Shekel from last year's Chiv. It's only from this year's Chiv that you have it. V'tani kein atikin b'mikdash vein atikin b'medina. And it says b'ferish that atikin are in the Mikdash, meaning if you want to drop off from last year's Machsa Shekel, you could do that in the base of Mikdash, but not b'medina. Period. Now, our Mishnah spoke about a shaliach. If the shaliach loses the money, so we said the shaliach is going to have to swear, he's never going to have to pay. He's either swearing to the gizbarim, or he's swearing to the guy who sent him, depending whether they took the truma or not. But he's never going to have to pay. So says the Gemara, Masnisim b'shomer chinam. Our Mishnah must be talking about where the guy is a shomer chinam. No one's paying him to watch over this money and to deliver the money. Avol b'shomer sachar lo bada. But if he were shomer sachar, that's not what our Mishnah is talking about. So Amar Rav Yabav, because the shomer sachar would be chayiv in gneiva v'aveda. So if it gets lost or stolen, the shomer sachar is going to be the one that has to pay out of pocket. It's not the gizbar that's going to lose, and it's not the guy who sent it that it's going to lose. Amar Rav Yabav, afilu tamer b'shomer sachar. So Rav Yabav says, no. Our Mishnah might even be talking about a shomer sachar, and you know what it means that he's pater when it gets lost or stolen. Nignevu balista mezuyin. When we say it gets stolen, it means it was armed bandits that stole it. That kind of stealing a shomer sachar is not going to be chayivan, because that's considered to be an onus. It's not, it's beyond his control when there are armed bandits that take it from him. It's not a regular geneva. Avdu kamisha tavas finas biyam. Avdu is if his boat drowns, if his boat sinks. So if his boat sinks, that's not also something that's way beyond his control, and that's why the money got lost. So that even the shomer sachar would not be chayiv for it. So that's the machlokas. Is our Mishnah only talking about a shomer chinam, or might our Mishnah even be talking about a shomer sachar? But we're dealing with the type of gnei v'aveda that even a shomer sachar is going to be pater for. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Simon, Asya Kamadi Amar Tormin Al Gavoy Vala Asad Ligvos. Our Mishnah must be assuming, like the Shita When our Mishnah makes this chilek between whether it was nitram, whether the money was already taken to buy the karbanos before it was lost or only after it was lost, that chilek only makes sense if you assume that when we're torim from the kupos, when we take the money from those boxes in the Beis Hamikdash to buy the karbanos, it's ala gavoy ve'al ha'asad ligvos. It covers those who have already given the money as well as those monies that have not yet been given for maksa shekel. And that's why he's going to have to, the shliach is going to have to swear to the gizbar, because the guy who sent it didn't lose out. He was already covered. It's ala asad ligvos also. Biram kamandi yamar ein tormin lo ala gavoy v'ala asad ligvos lo bada. But if you assume that it's not going to cover the gavoy v'ala asad ligvos, the people who have sent in the money, but the money hasn't yet arrived, so then our Mishnah wouldn't work, because there would be no reason to swear to the gizbar. Then you would have to swear back to the guy, the shliach would have to swear back to the guy who sent it, and that guy would have to take a new shekel, because then it would be that he would not be yotzei the karbanos that are, he would not be yotzei with the karbanos that are bought from that money. So it must be that our Mishnah is assuming the other way. Our Mishnah is assuming that whatever your Torim, whatever their Torim in the Beis HaMikdash, covers ala gavoy ve'al ha'asid ligvos. So the Mishnah discussed if you have people that sent their shekel with a shliach. So Amar Blazer, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Kachim Shulchayv Bachri Yisoyim Kinechas of Hain. That our Mishnah must be assuming that when our Mishnah says that the Shomrim are going to have to swear for the lost money, that must be assuming like Rabbi Shimon. You see, generally speaking, there is a Nishban Ale Ektechos. We don't swear for something that belongs to Hegdish. So why are these guys swearing for money that's designated for Hegdish that was lost? Where does this Shavua come in? So says Gemara, it must be that we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Kachim Shul Chayiv Bachur Yusan Kinechas of Hain. That when you have Kachim, that you're Chayiv in the Achrayus of that Kachim, that if it gets lost, you're responsible to replace it. So any Kachim that you're Chayiv in the Achrayus becomes like your own money. We treat it like your own money, not like money of Hegdish. That's why you swear on it, because it's treated like your own money. So our Mishnah must be assuming like Rabbi Shimon. Am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Divrei Akolhi Mishum Shuvas Sakana. Rabbi Yochanan says no. It's our Mishnah is even assuming that it's not considered your own money. It's considered the money of Hegdish. Why are we making them swear? There's a rule that Ein Nishban Alekdeshos. It's not Midor Raisa. We're making them swear Midor Rabbanan. Midor Raisa in Achinami, they'd be patur from swearing. It's a Din Midor Rabbanan that the Shomrim shouldn't be Mezalzel in the Shmiras HaHegdish. That these people who are trusted with guarding the money as they bring it to Yerushalayim shouldn't be Mezalzel in their job. So that's we make a Shavua Midrabanan that they have to take. What's the Ayin Dal? What does that stand for? Alda Rabbi Yochanan. So Aldaite Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, Aldaite Rabbi Yochanan Nicha Nishbam Ligizbarim Vimlav Nishbam Libnei Yair Ubnei Yair Shokel Machirim Tachteim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who said that it was Divrei Akol, that it's all just a Shavua Midrabanan, but everyone agrees that they would have to swear. So it works out that you're Nishbam Ligizbarim, and if not, you're Nishbam Libnei Yair, and the Bnei Yair are Shokel Machirim Tachteim. The Bnei Yair will take other Shkalim in their place. Mishum Shavuos Takana. It's all because there's a Shavuos Takana. The whole Shavua is only Midrabanan. So that all makes sense. All the dinim in our Mishnah makes sense. El Rabbi Lezer, Nishbayim L'bnei Yair, Hadahi D'Rabbi Shimon, Nishbayim L'Gizbarim, Gizbarim Mayavi D'Tayu. But according to Rabbi Lezer, that we're dealing with the Shavua D'Araisa, and then our Mishnah is only assuming like Rabbi Shimon that it's considered like it's your money. It's not considered like it's Hegdish money. And that's why you're going to have to swear, even though technically it's Hegdish, because it really we consider it like it's your money. So it makes sense that you would have to be nishba l'bnei ha'ir, that you have to swear to the people who sent it, because it's your money. So you have to swear it back to those people. But why would you ever have to swear to the gizbarim on a daraisa level? It doesn't make sense me daraisa to ever have to swear to the gizbarim. What do the gizbarim have to do with anything over here? You chayiv to the shaliach who sent you. The shkalim are not in the rishus of the gizbarim, right? So it would be vaiter einish bal malakdeshos, who would have a din of hektish that you wouldn't swear on. So says Gemara enochinami. You never swear to the gizbarim. The Mishnah never meant you swear to the gizbarim according to Rabbi Lezer. It just means that you swear to the Bnei Yair with the Gizbarim there so that no one suspects you of wrongdoing. or that they shouldn't consider them to be poshim that were misrashal in their shlichus, that were lazy in their shlichus. Afal pi shekiblu b'nei ir l'shalim esegdish yotze below shvua. And even though the b'nei ir were makabel on themselves to pay, the b'nei ir believe the shliach and they're maskim to pay a new machsa shekel. They say, I don't need you to swear. It's okay. Still, ein hegdish yotze below shvua. Hegdish does not go without a shvua. Meaning, what the Gemara is suggesting right now is when we say that they swear to the b'nei ir, it's not because the b'nei ir insists that they swear. Even if the b'nei ir don't insist that they swear, nothing is going to happen without a shvua over here. So in order to, and this is part of the way we show respect to Hegdish, that nothing happens, no new money is given to Hegdish, and no money is replaced unless there's a shvua. That's our way of showing how important Hegdish is. Hifrish shiklo va'avad. Says the Gemara Vayter, if a person was mafrish his shekel, and then it got lost. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, chayiv b'achriyuso, ad shiyim sereno l'gizbar. He's chayiv in the achrayus of that shekel until he gives it to the gizbar. So long as the trumos machsa shekel has not gotten to the gizbar, the fellow has not been yotze his chiyuv, and therefore he's going to have to take another shekel. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar, hegdish, b'rishus ha'gavah, b'kol makom shu. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, no. Anytime a person is makdish something with tzorach gavoa, even though he never got a chance to actually give it to Hegdish, wherever it is, it's Hegdish. And therefore, even if the gizbar never got it, it belongs to Hegdish. So wherever it is, it belongs to Hegdish, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's not chayv b'achriyus, so he doesn't have to give another one in its place. So says Gemara, Masnisa pliga Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Rabbi Shimon Lakish is against our Mishnah, right? Because it says, Nishban lebnei b'nei ir shokum tachtem. In our Mishnah, it got lost not just when I was mafresh machsa shekel and then I lost it. Our Mishnah was even further in the process. I was mafresh machsa shekel, I gave it to somebody to bring to Yerushalayim, and then it got lost, and I still have to give another machsa shekel in its place. So isn't that against Rav Shimon Lakish? Rav Shimon Lakish says as soon as I'm mafresh something for machsa shekel, that's it. It's hegdish wherever it is, and even if I lose it immediately, I'm not responsible for it. So says Gemara, lo oid himishum shvuas takana. So the Gemara explains that no, it's not against Rav Shimon Lakish. When we just learned from Rabbi Yochanan that the shvua that the shluchim have to take is not minadin, it's a takanas chacham, so that they're not mezalzel in the hekdeshos. So the same too over here. This chiyuv that the bnei ir chayiv to take another shekel is not meikra din. It's a takana midrabanan, so that people the bnei ir should not be mezalzel in the hekdesh. And when do we make that takana midrabanan? When they sent it with somebody else, because that's somewhat disrespectful, meaning they weren't being so careful. If they lost it themselves, we're not going to make a takana that they have to take another machsa shekel. Says Rabbi Shimon Lakish. But if they sent it with somebody else, why are you sending it with somebody else? So then we're going to make a takana that they have to take another machsa shekel. Tani, harishonim noflim l'tikun chadin vashnim noflim l'tikun atikin. So our Mishnah said, when they replace the machsa shekel, so the first ones go to the tikun chaditin, and the second ones go to the tikun atikin. So elohim rishonim v'elohim vashnim. First, what do you consider the first machsa shekel? What do you consider the second one? So Pinchas ben Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Abba Mari chad amar elu shesholchu b'nei ir tchila. One says that the first ones are the ones that were sent first, meaning the first ones were the ones that were lost or stolen. And so that's what we call the first ones. V'charaga amar elu sheigilu de gizbarim tchila. And the other one says, the other shita holds, that the Rishonim are the ones that got to the gizbarim first, which is really the second ones. It was the replacement, because the replacement was given to the gizbar, and then they found the first one. So it's machlokas how we define the terminology, what's called the first one. Halacha beis, new Mishnah. Hanosin shiklo l'chaveiro, lishkol al yado, v'shakol al yidei atzmo. A guy gives a shekel to his friend and says, here, do me a favor, give this as my machsa shekel. And the friend gives it for himself to cover his own machsa shekel. So the halacha is im nitruma truma ma'al. If the truma was the truma salishcha was taken before he was shokel for himself, since the truma was supposed to cover his friend. I mean, remember we said the truma when they take it covers al ha'asad ligvos, the things that are in transit also that have not yet been collected. So while it was in transit, it still belonged to the guy who sent it. So when the truma was taken, that truma was for the carbon of the guy who was supposed to cover the carbon for the guy who sent it. So when the shaliach Shliach now goes and says, it's for me, I'm giving this Machzor Shaq for me, he's being Moel in that Korban. Because that Korban didn't belong to him. That Korban belonged to the other guy already. So he's going to be in violation of Mi'ila. So the Gemara is going to discuss, what do you mean Mi'ila? Mi'ila is when you get some sort of physical Hana from it. He's not getting any physical Hana. He's getting a mitzvah out of it. He's trying to get the mitzvah of paying Machzor Shaq. But mitzvah is lovely Hana statement. So the Gemara is going to deal with that. Hopefully we'll get to it in 2 minutes. Hashokel Shiklo min HaHegdish V'nitrma HaTruma V'karva HaBehema Mal. If a person takes his shekel from Hegdish money and Nitrma Truma, and then they separate the Truma from the Kupa and they brought the Behema ready for the carbon seabor, so that's also a violation of Mi'ila. But if he accidentally used Maiser Sheni money or Shemitah money to pay for his Maksa Shekel, so then he just needs to replace the money, but he's fine in terms of the carbon. Hashokel Anantanina Mkarva Behema V'tan Be'Rebi Im Nitrma Truma. So now we have a version where it's only if the animal was already brought as a korban, and the other shita is no. Even if it's just nitrma truma, the animal is not actually brought. They just took the truma from the trumas from the kupa. So skip the parentheses. Mantanim nitrma truma. Who's the one that says that even if it's just nitrma truma, it's already considered as if it counted on behalf of the guy who sent the money? Rabbi Shimon he. Tam Rabbi Shimon miyado yimakabel ma'usav akwanim is reason hein. That the Rabbi Shimon is one that says that right away they would be makabel the money, and the kwanim was reason to be Shomer and Hektashos, that no psul and nothing should get lost and nothing should happen to it. So over here also, because of the reasons of the Kohanim, as soon as Tznitrma Truma, they immediately buy the behemos that are already checked for any mumin, and it turns out, so Nitra Truma, that Tandabir Rebbe said, is Karva HaBehema, meaning that it's one and the same, because the Kohanim are so zrizin that as soon as it's Nitra Truma, it's going to be Karva HaBehema. It happens almost immediately. The Kasha, Ilu Agone Velasu Shalchaver Veshachto Stam, Stam Alol Hashem Balim HaRishonu Mechaperes. So ask the Gemara, but wait a second, this din is very shver. This din, the person decides to be shokel for himself when he was sent to be shokel for someone else. So in Nitra Trumu, we said he's in violation of Mi'ila. Well, by a person who steals of his friend's carbon ola and he brings it to the base of Migdash and he shechts it stam. So stam, we assume, lo l'shem balam rishonim mechaperes. Doesn't that work for the original owner? Meaning, doesn't it not work when you try to give them the ola for yourself and it belongs to someone else? So shouldn't by Maksa Shekel, shouldn't we say the same thing? That it just doesn't work? That if a guy sent you with his Maksa Shekel and you're giving it, having in mind that this is for me, so it's not for me, it's for him. It shouldn't work. So I'm Rabbi Yudon Tiftar B'Masuyam. No, it must be that our Mishnah is talking about a case where the Shliach who stole it did something, some Maisa of Chashivus, to show that it belonged to him, that this was specifically his. It wasn't just Stam that he gave it. Michel Beis Rabbi Gamliel Hayemiskavim V'dochvo L'toch HaKupa. He did like the Beis Rabbi Gamliel did. We're going to see later on Daf Tesam Rav, the Beis Rabbi Gamliel, when they wanted that their shekels should be used, their actual coins should be used for the Karbanos HaTzibur. So their minhag was that at the time that they were Torim, when the guy would come to be Torim, the money from the Lishka would come to actually collect the money, they'd throw it right into the top of the pile so that he would always take their money. So they always wanted their coins. So that's a Maisa of Chashivas to show that this is for me, that this is something that you're doing for yourself. So before we finish the Teretz, the Gemara says, wait a second, what was going on? What was this Hakpada of the Beis Rabbi Gamliel? The Chash Lomar Shem L'Shirayim Hem Noflim. So what? The Beis Rabbi Gamliel was worried that maybe the their money is not going to be used for the Shkalim and it's going to go into the Shiari Halishcha V'chiyesh Mi'ila B'Shirayim. There's no Mi'ila in the Shirayim. The Kedusha of all the Shkalim and the Lishcha is all together. So it's considered as if the Shkalim were already Nishkal Al Yedei Kol HaShoklim. It's as if everyone who had given is participating together. So what did Beis Rabbi Gamliel care if their shkalim stayed in the lishcha? Either way, the kedusha was nischalal as soon as they took the trumas halishcha. So says Mar Elik Rabbi Meir. Gamliel must have assumed like Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir Omer Mol in Bishirayim, that the shkalim that were not nitram, that were not actually collected, they remain kodesh, and it turns out that they lose out, that Rabbi Gamliel Taka does lose out if their money is not used for the karbanos tzibur. So that's why Rabbi Gamliel was so concerned about this. Okay, that's why Rabbi Gamliel was concerned about this. But now we go back to the answer, that since we we find that this was the Beis Ram Gamliel, Od here, our Mishnah also is B'Mesuyim Shal Beis Ram Gamliel, Shei Miskavin, V'Tar Malishmo. Our Mishnah must also be talking about such a case where you're Miskavin, where the guy acted like the Beis Ram Gamliel, and therefore it's clear that he was doing it for himself, and that's why it doesn't count for the guy who had sent him. So he's Moel. Says Gemara, Moel, Manene. What sort of Hanah did he get that he's going to be Moel? The Shliach is not getting any money from this. He's not getting any benefit from it. Some Rabbim B'Shem Rabbanan de Taman. So he said in the name of the rabbis from there. In Bavli, we're always used to the rabbis from there being the rabbis from Eretz Yisrael. But this is Yerushalmi. So the Rabbanan de Taman are the Chachmei Bavel. So he said in the name of the Rabbanan Bavel, Mikivin Shabezin Ru'in L'Mashkein V'L'Mashkeno K'mashanene. Since Bezin can take a mashkun from you till you pay for your Maksa Shekel, and now they're not going to take the mashkun from you because you already paid for on behalf of you already gave the maksa, you took your friend's money and paid for your own maksa shekel, so that's considered hana'a, and that's the mi'ila. The Mishnah had said if you take from Maaser Sheni money and from Shvius money, so Yochal Kenegdan, the Mishnah had said you could just replace that money with other things. So the Gemara is going to explain why it is that you can't use Maaser Sheni for Maksa Shekel. What's the problem with using Maaser Sheni money for Maksa Shekel? So Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says, Ach b'chor asher yuvukar la'ashem b'vehema lo yakdish isho so, and Pasuk continues, im sharim sel la'ashem hu, that you're not allowed to be makdish a b'chor l'shem karbon or l'shem any other kedusha. And from b'chor we learn, kol shu kodesh ein kedusha chalalav. Anything that already is kodesh, no other kedusha is going to be allowed to be chal on it. And therefore, you can't give a matbeya of Maaser Sheni to Maksa Shekel al minas with the intention to buy karbanos with it. So the Gemara explains what it means. What does it mean? Yochal kenegdan ketzaru. So what do we do with this coin of Maaser Sheni that you gave to the Maksa Shekel? You can't buy karbanos with it. So the Gemara says maybe sella shel chulin. You bring a sella of chulin that's worth the same as Maksa Shekel. Va'omer mos Maaser Sheni b'chol makom shein yimuchulal and al sella zu v'osasella nitzas l'shem Maaser Sheni. And you say that the kedusha of Maaser Sheni that's on the money that I sent for the Maksa Shekel should now be transferred over to this money, and this money should become Maaser Sheni, Vashar, Nasu Shkalim, and the rest of the Matpe, the original coin that you gave, that now becomes the regular Maksa Shekel that goes to pay for the Karbanos HaTzibur. Okay, let's pick up that Vav tomorrow.